Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. Oh, I have a thought that's been running through my mind.
Lovely.
Like to share it with you tonight. I want to look at passage in the 7th chapter of Luke. Maybe I'll go back a little bit and read 16th verse, 7th chapter. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, "What a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." And this rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea, throughout all the regions around about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus,
yes,
saying, "Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another?" And when the men were come unto him, they said, "John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering and said unto them, "Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." So I can't pretend to know all the ins and outs of this, because it seems to me like there could be a lot of variables of this. But for some reason, John the Baptist needed something.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think for most of us that's lived for the Lord, we probably can relate with John the Baptist at this point, because there's a difference when you're coming right down to certain things. It's like Jesus' moment in the garden. He needed something, right?
Yes.
I mean, Jesus needed something.
Yes.
Now, he was the Son of God and everything, but his ministry had been free and full, and he was given the Spirit, not by measure, and he had performed his ministry, but yet, when it come time for that crucifixion time, that he needed something.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Yes.
Well, John had been preaching and baptizing, and he had been doing these things, and I don't think anybody would say God wasn't with him. God was moving in John. I mean, John was working for the Lord, and he knew and understood the plan. I mean, he knew he wasn't the Messiah. He knew who he was forerunning for. But yet, there come a time to where he said, "Go ask him." You know what I mean? There's something. I need an assurance. I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's okay with God. Don't feel like that I got in this moment and all of a sudden that I'm starting to feel like I need something, that somehow I'm betraying my faith. That's not true. There's times that we get in. It's a different moment now. It's a different time now. I need grace for this time. I've never had the grace for being in this place because I didn't need it. But now I need something more than I've had before. I mean, I'm looking right now. Listen, these guys are hostile towards me. Well, I'm either going to stay in here forever or, I mean, they are hostile towards me. I'm coming up to my end, and I realize it. He must increase, and I must decrease. And I feel the moment. So he tells his disciples, because he couldn't. Might say, why did he doubt? But he needed something.
Yes.
You remember when maybe it was Gideon that come down to an important moment of his life that he needed to know of the Lord, and he went and asked the Lord, and he needed more than the inspiration of word. He needed something tangible more. He needed something, and so he went and lays a fleece out. You remember the story? He lays a fleece out and he asks of the Lord to do something that would not normally be done, that the dew would lay on the ground around but not on the fleece, something to that effect. And it happened. And he saw it and he saw that. And of course it would have been odd that happened, but maybe it could happen. And all of a sudden he saw that, and this is serious and it's something I need to know, Lord. And he goes and says, Lord, forgive me. I got it. I saw it. But I need something more. I need something more. Can I tell you? God said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And he holds to his own word. And he will witness himself into you double time. He didn't just give the dream to Joseph that just the corn, that just the maize would be, but he gave the cattle too. He works in these kind of ways. And so Gideon says, let the dew fall on the ground and not on the fleece, and it happened, and now I got it, Lord. I know you've answered me, and I know that, but he needed something. And that's the point. He needed something. And so the Lord is willing to answer John. He's willing to answer him, but he doesn't answer him maybe in the way that you and I would think of the answer would be. But he answers him in a way that is fulfilling to John. John is going to understand the language that the Lord made. This was going to be, I believe this is comforting to John now to know. Beyond all you, words are cheap. They wasn't cheap from the Lord, but words are cheap to come back from them men and say anything. But the Lord told him exactly, go your way, and you tell John. Now, I want to say something, that in this scenario, there's a scene that's very, very important to the scene. Right? Jesus knows this, and so here comes the question. And the question's being answered as it goes, because Jesus is in the middle of performing what he was there to do. John's going to know this, and so this is what he says. This is what these men get. Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. It reminds me of 61 of Isaiah when I read that. The gospel's preached, and the prison doors are open, and the blind see, and it was the prophecy, and it was understood in this. But I really want to bring out a point of this last little bit here. And he said, this is to John, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. think in my mind this is the way the real emphasis of the passage. What keeps the world from the blessings of the Lord? You and I look and say they're many. They're precious. They're real. Why wouldn't everybody want the blessings of the Lord? The word directly interprets here, and happy. But who was he referring to? And happy are those. I asked this question, who were the people? Who actually were the people that eyes got opened? Who exactly was the lame? Who exactly was the dead that was raised? Who exactly? I'll say this, if you was here tonight, and you'd been blind, and the Lord healed you instantly, and you could see, would you be happy? If you couldn't walk, you was lame, and you couldn't walk from your mother's womb, you was lame, and he come, and what would you do? Leap and shout? Would you be happy? Here's the direct reference to this and what he's saying, and I want to get a picture of this because I think it's very, very important. Jesus did not fulfill the Jewish notion of what the Messiah was. He did not. They had a mindset of what the Messiah was going to be, and many of them had this idea, as men will, who was it even? Samuel goes, and Eliab's the biggest, tallest, best-looking man, and surely this is the king. Surely this is the king. Little ruddy David? He's going to represent, we're going to put a crown on his head with all the nations of the earth is going to look at us and David? You got to be kidding. Samuel looked at it and God said, quit looking on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So here comes the Messiah, the King of the Jews, right? The King. Here he comes, and the mindset of them was not going to be offensive. It was going, they, in their minds, looked at the notion of a big arm with a big sword, with a big smile and a good looking, and they got the notion of what the image of their king would be, and no doubt they had the image of Solomon and his splendor, right? Solomon. And his splendor, and that was the pinnacle of the Jewish nation, right? Was the splendor of the kingdom under Solomon. Solomon was wise, he was honored, he was respected. There was nothing like the temple, there was nothing like the worship of God. The Jewish nation had something to have their eye. This was what their image, and all of a sudden here comes Jesus. I want you to get a picture, and I don't want to in any way try to make this out like it's degrading, but I want to tell you something. He did not come to look good. Think about this. Do you think that he wore the finest clothes? Tell me. Do you think that possibly he could have looked? Come on. Him representing us? They thought that way. Do you suppose that people that could have had a happy, a blessed? Do you suppose that they could have simply looked at him and said, not me, brother. That isn't what I'm a part of. And then to listen to what he was saying and what he was doing, and all of a sudden they thought, we're going to tear the Roman Empire down by the might of God. And he's saying, I come to conquer you inside you. And he started preaching and saying things, and he could say this, and he said it to John, and it's so meaningful. It's so meaningful. Who are the happy? Do you know that they was people that was willing not to be offended at his outward appearance? at his lack of substance. And they came to him anyway. And happy are those that will. That aren't offended. The word directly means to stumble over something. You're stumbling over the Lord Jesus. You know, in our world today, we're considered a Christian nation. Do you know in our world today that there's a lot of people that can get really, really upset over the name of Jesus? Really, really upset. When happiness is in his hands. When fulfillment's in his hands. When the blessings of life he owns. He can give them to us. He can change us and help us and all that. And yet, there's an offense there. So he says to them, and look at John's situation. I think John understood this too. My time has come. This statement, blessed are those that aren't offended in me, would have hit John directly. Whatever he chooses for me, I am not going to be offended by it. I am not going to allow myself to stumble at this time. I'm not an old man. I've been well respected. I've had a lot to look forward to. And yet, I've been in this place and there is one that can get me out of here. And he's not coming. I must decrease. And he must increase. So we're talking about something about the Lord here. How he's not here today. I don't see him as I see him high and lifted up. Right? I see him as a conqueror. Right? So I don't see what they saw in the flesh that he may have been referring to. But you know there is ways that we can be offended in him, but by the life that he's required of us, by the submission that he's required of us, by the humility that he's requiring of us. Do you know I can be offended by his humility? If I ain't careful, I can be offended. I don't want to be humble like that. I don't have to be in that situation. Well, I'm going to get this scripture because it's into this. In John. John 6th chapter, I believe. Oh, I'll go about 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now listen, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, I'm going to ask you something. What's offensive about that? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, this was him saying what his mission was. His mission was to die for us, and if we partake of that, he is buying for us eternal life. This is a beautiful writing right here, and he's telling these disciples this beautiful picture unfold, but you got to understand this. You've got to be a partaker of me. This was symbolic. You're not eating anything. You got to eat an apple. Ain't going to change nothing. But you see what he's talking about? He's talking about digesting, taking it into yourself, making it part of you. So what's offensive? I think they should have said it. Glory, hallelujah. Right? I mean, it should have been that. But they didn't. He asked a serious question. He said, these things he said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Or basically, this is hard. Who can understand this? I really don't know if they was so bothered by trying to understand it, or they understood it enough to know that it wasn't something they wanted. Are you kidding me? Jesus actually told a scribe one time, he said, I'll go with you wherever, soever you go. This is a simple scripture because it doesn't detail anything. It just says, Jesus said, foxes have holes. And birds have nests. And the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And it doesn't say anything else. I know what it means. It meant, oh. Is that what I'm following you to? That's what Jesus said. When he said, I'll follow you wherever you go, and he laid it on him. Are you going to follow me into this? Here it is. I'll lay it out. I'm not hiding nothing from you. I'm not talking about palaces and mansions on the hill. I'm talking about I don't have any place to live. I don't own anything in this present world. You following? I don't know how that ends. We could speculate, but I think the whole idea of the scripture was that it would maybe brought some uncertainty about the statement I just said. And I don't know about what these disciples' position was, and I don't know if the very idea of drinking blood and eating, you know, it is a little, and maybe the idea of that was like they said, you know what, people are listening to this, I just, you know what, I don't want to be a part of that kind of stuff, that kind of language of that. Maybe that was it. I don't know, but this was still the same one that caused the blind to see. These disciples followed him because of it. They knew that he was the one that was healing the blind eyes, and that he was raising the dead, and that he had a power of God, and they knew that. But they come to a point, and it says here that many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Was that a stumbling block? What and if you should see the Son of Man descend up where he was before? Would that change anything? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there were some of you that believed not. For Jesus knew from the beginning whom they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What an idea. He just told them this beautiful, as we understand it. As an aside, it brings my mind to Brother Wynn. Remember Brother Wynn? Yeah, Brother Wynn. Brother Wynn was a descendant of some folks that back in the Reagan years, he had opened up some passages from Vietnam for people that would sponsor the folks from Vietnam. There was a way for them to come to the United States and start a new life, right? And so Wynn's parents was sponsored by a church group to come over to the United States. And they did. They come over to the United States, and they were Buddhist? I think they were Buddhist. And they came, and one of the things, of course, the church had brought them into it, and so one of the things that they wanted them to do was go to service. It was a church that brought them, sponsored them. And Brother Wynn was telling me this, that they went, and the first time he ever went to church, there was a depiction of Christ on the cross. That so upset his dad. This is Brother Wynn telling me this. He so upset him, said, I would never, ever be a part of a religion as brutal as that. You can see that as brutal, can't, honestly. Can you see that as brutal? Is that beautiful to anybody? That's dying love. To understand that it was not man. Jesus said, I could presently cause 12 legions of angels to come and get me. It wasn't man, the nails that held him up there, Sister Mary. It wasn't the nails. We see the beautiful picture. They didn't see the beautiful picture. I said to Brother Wynn, I said, wow, I hope he understands that. Because it does look bleeding. That's an awful scene. Crowns of thorns on his head. A dying man. Thank God. To us, it was the greatest moment in history. Christ died for us. I was guilty. And he paid for it. And we depict it because it's not ugly. No greater story has ever been told than that one. You can't make up a love story with a sacrifice so great. And it was because he felt the sins of the world. He felt our guilt and our... He felt that. He took it on himself. Whoa! What a story. But from this time, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were offended, stumbling block of the gospel was put in their way. He would put it in his way. They saw this and they were offended. You know, the truth about it is there's a kind of, what is it called, an oxymoron or a paradox where the gospel's free and it costs you everything you got. Okay. It's free. It's going to cost you everything, right? Well, it's true. You can't just get it. You can't buy it. You can't do anything. It's free. But in order to do it, you got to give everything. It doesn't work otherwise. You've got to give all. And it's a beautiful idea to do this. But I'm going to tell you, many people are offended because of Christ. They were offended in the path that he took. And that's why people want to change the dynamics of who he is. And people get these ideas. I remember asking somebody one time, we was in a conversation about things, and I was expounding on holiness, and the Bible does teach it, by the way. I mean, it teaches it. So, holiness. And I was saying something, we got into this conversation about proper attire, smoking, drinking, the normal thing is about smoking. And so got to a certain situation, a certain place in the conversation, and I said, well, I'll just ask you this. Can you see, in your mind, Jesus walking down the beach in nothing but a cut-off pair of jeans and a cigarette on his lip? And they said, well, yeah, sure. Why not? Okay, if that's your vision, if that's your vision, but the real Jesus is going to offend you. The real Spirit of God is going to offend you, because the real Spirit of God is going to lay a finger on that. The real Spirit of God is going to condemn it. There's going to be some condemnation on some of this stuff that the Lord's going to put on it. And there's going to be I'm going to be offended. I'm going to be offended by that. Honestly, people are too easy offended anyway. Really, I mean, people are too
too easy offended about things. Just a little thing. I like the scripture, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but it is one of my scriptures that I hold to. And if I need to, I'll grab a hold of it and say, no, I will not be offended, because I have something bigger and better than that. And I don't have to be offended. I said that scripture to somebody one time and about being offended, and I said that, and I quoted the scripture. I quoted it. And they said, well, I just don't believe that the way you do. And I said, I didn't say I believed anything. I just quoted your scripture. That's all I did. You're going to have to argue with God about the scriptures. I mean, you know, I don't believe it the way you do. I just quoted it. Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. What does nothing mean? You? No, but that's the scripture. But it's one thing to say I'm offended at my neighbor, or I'm offended at somebody in my family. But I'm offended at the Lord. When we start saying I'm not willing to do that, or I'm going to tell you what we ought to always do, as the Apostle Paul said about them that judged him. He said, it's no great thing that you judge me, for I don't judge myself. I wait till the righteous judge of all comes and lays judgment on it, and then that's what I take. I know my prejudice and my thought. I know the way it is about it. So he was saying, it doesn't offend me that you judge me. Lay it to me and I'll consider it. But I'm not going to take it until the Lord proves it, because that's what I'm going to do with it. Lord, help us not to be offended with the gospel. And when the gospel comes, it's going to bring happiness. And when we refuse, when we're one of those that refuse the Lord and don't take the Lord for what he is, as he said, blessed are those that aren't offended in me. Happy are those that are willing to come and take the gospel in its totality. Take it all. You take it all, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have deliverance. You're going to have peace. You're going to have hope. You're going to have happiness. You're going to have it. But if you don't, you're not going to have it. Blessed. In 1 Peter, I was thinking that maybe the preacher might have mentioned this scripture last night. I'm not quite sure. It's in 1 Peter, the second chapter. See if I can find what I'm wanting. I'm going to read back a little bit. This is a good scripture anyway. So I'm going to go back to the first verse. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisy and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed of indeed of men, but chosen of God as and precious. And ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believeth, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders allowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, listen to this. This is to me, quite an idea. Jesus was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You know, the other day, the other night, we had a message. Brother Joseph brought a message on fear and fear.
Same word, same idea, put into different contexts and different ways that it was proper and improper and what you should and shouldn't do. You know, there's an idea about offense too, that you could preach a message similar to it, but offense and offense. Because I'm going to tell you, there's no greater offender of humanity than Jesus Christ. He offended humanity. He offended the Jewish nation. He offended the Roman government. He offended all the disbelievers. He offended. Now the Bible tells us, woe to be an offender. And there's a context for that. Be better for a millstone to hang around your neck than offend one of these little ones. That's pretty drastic. But on the other hand, you live for God, you're going to offend people. You don't want to offend people. You're not trying to offend people. But the life of Christ will offend people. It just will. The devil hates it. The devil will be against it. And people that go for those kind of things hate Christianity. And there's people in our country that is so belligerent towards it. They hate it. And they're going to hate you. And Jesus said at one point, you shouldn't think it strange if they hate you. They hated me first. They was offended at me before they was offended at you. And you go around and you wish nothing but good, just like the Lord did. And you dress in holiness. And you walk holy. You speak holy. You try to do the best for everybody. There's nobody you wouldn't lift up out of there. Did you do all of that? And the very hand you lift down will offend them. It's true. He was the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. And the scripture, there's a scripture that talks about this stone. It's a two-purpose thing. You can fall on this stone and be broken. Thank the Lord. It's the process of healing us and making us better to break us. Right? And you can fall on this stone and it'll break you. Or you can have it fall on you. And then what does it do? It grinds to powder. It's destructive and it's destroying. My idea tonight is to have the idea that the things of the Lord does not offend me. I will not allow those things to offend me, but embrace them. This is a personal relationship. Okay. Sometimes the Lord allows things in our life that we don't want. We can kick and struggle with that. And in a sense, if we do, we won't be happy. It won't bring blessing. If we take the idea that I'm offended by this, you know, I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to accept this. Lord, help us to be honest in our hearts, honest in our life to the Lord, to be able to say, I can remember places in my life, I'll just say this, that I've said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Is that all right? If you're not where you're supposed to be, you should tell the Lord you ain't where you're supposed to be. That's the best way to deal with the things. You can fight and kick and say, maybe I shouldn't, or I don't have to, or all those things. We was talking about something recently. I guess it's all right to say this. There's a different ideas about it, and it can be discussed. But Linda and I was talking about divine healing and those kind of things, and I said this, and I'm not dogmatic, and I don't put hard stands on things. I want to do it. I can tell you right now. I know what life holds for me. I want to trust the Lord. I want to die trusting the Lord. I think that's what... You don't have to try to push me into any... I feel this way. If I had my way, I want to trust the Lord. I value it. I value it. I think it's the best way to live life and see this and... To shame or to put anything on anybody. I don't think there's a profit to make somebody do something they don't have. I say to my point, I want to. I find it value and I see those that went before me that done it and had it. And it was real. rich. It was valuable. I saw so much grace, and it was so good. That's my message. What a wonderful way. It's beautiful. That don't need to be distorted in any way. It's beautiful. Wow, to have a Lord that cares enough about me to take care of me all the way through it. My mind, my emotions through it all, to give me victory over the pain and do that. I want to do it. I don't know. I don't know what pain. I don't know why it's on my life and do it, but I know what I want. Because it's beautiful and it's right. I'm not offended. You can't offend me by that. You cannot offend me. I just want to trust the Lord. If you, I know I got to die. I mean, dying's what I got to do. I was appointed to die the day I was born. I'm going on the way. I'm going on the path. But I think that's valuable. I want to do it. And so as we look at the serving the Lord and you look at those things in there and Jesus says this about eating my flesh and his blood, I don't know why there wasn't enough value on the Lord to say, I want to follow him. What did he end up saying to Peter? Will you all go also? I didn't finish that, but it said, will you go also? And what did he answer? Where would we go? That has the words of eternal life. Where would I go? Is what you just said the way to eternal life? He just said it was. You eat my flesh, drink my blood, you'll have eternal life in you. Well, you have the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? And so I look at the things and ask the questions. And I want to be harsh, but I still have to ask. I still wonder about these things because I've heard it so many times. Where somebody will say, so-and-so acted up. I don't go to church anymore. I don't believe it anymore because so-and-so acted up. Well, what's so-and-so acting up got to do with it? Well, somebody said something they shouldn't have said. And I don't go and I don't serve the Lord anymore. What's that got to do with the Lord? Nothing. And I use this example, but you can come up and you know say that, Brother Marty, you're ugly and stupid, and I don't like you. And I'll go divorce Linda. Why? It doesn't make any sense. There's no connection between what people does and the Lord Jesus. If you've got him and you know, and that's what I'm saying, don't be offended in the Lord. Don't be offended at him. Don't get offended at the Lord because the world does this or that so-called that or that or the imperfections of people or anything. Why would you do that? Now, I had an experience one time at a tent meeting down here, at where Brother Dan and Sister Anza was at, and got a dog chasing me and... I had quite an experience. And this woman was mad. She was madder than the dog was. It was just the dog seemed more dangerous at the time. It was a great big Rottweiler. Must have weighed 120 pounds. 140, he was big. Come bust. I went to knock on the... Well, it was a little bit different now. I went to this one place to hand out tracts, and when I went to leave, I had a sensation of concern when I started. And the guy spoke behind me that I talked to and said, don't go over there. And I said, why? He said, they got a big dog over there. Big, mean dog. And I was like, well, okay. I was in this, right or wrong, I was in the spirit, right? I was working for the Lord, so I was going. So I went over there, and the door was open, and the screen was shut. And when I knocked on it, I heard a rumble, and back in the trailer, that old dog took off coming through the door. And I thought the door was closed. But when that dog hit it, it just come open. And that big old dog was right on. I was a backing up and trying to, every time I'd go down like that, he'd stop and kind of like that. And then I heard that woman, she come a squalling. And she come out there squalling and called the dog off. Whew, the Lord. Well, she was in no good humor. She was mad. Well, I'll say this.
She was worried that her dog just got somebody. That's what the deal was. But she was excited. And so it kind of, she said, "What are you doing?" She said, "You never do that to a dog. You stand still." And I'm like, "It ain't happening. It ain't happening. I was about to jump up on top of your blazer. That's what I'm going to do." And she was like, "What are you doing here anyway?" Well, I could see it was a motion. And I ended up saying, "Okay, ma'am." And I said, "Well, the reason I'm here, she's cut me flat off. I don't care why you're here. You should dip, 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 dip." And finally she started calming down. And I said, "Ma'am, can I ask you a question?" She was like, "I reckon." And I said, "Well, we're doing a gospel tent meeting down here." And I said, I really believe in what I'm doing. And I want to know why someone like you wouldn't believe in it. You help me out. I want to be better at what I'm doing. And you can help me if you'll tell me why you aren't or wouldn't be interested in what I'm doing." And she kind of let her guard down a little bit and started telling me about how many hurts she had in the churches around Danville area and where she was at and how much a hurt that she had had. So I only had one word for her when I left. I said, "Ma'am, I'd love for you all to come to the meeting." And she took the flyer then. I said, "But I do want to tell you one thing. All of what you told me has nothing to do with Christ. Nothing. He still loves you, wants you. None of that is a reflection on Him. None of that has anything to what He has to offer for you. Nothing." And she was touched. She said that if my husband will come, I'll come to the meeting. That's what she told me. They did never come. I've never seen them again. But being offended at the things around should never be offended in the Lord. Everybody can let you down, folks. The world can let you down. The government can let you down. Your neighbors can let you down. If I must say, the family can let you down. Your own spouse lets you down. But Jesus ain't going to let you down. There is no reason to be offended in the one that said, "I can make you happy. I am the altar of life. I can change you. I can give you the grace that you... I can bless you and help you if you just won't be offended in me." Lord, help us. It's easy for us to interpolate our hurts to Christ. It's easy for us to put it on Him when He's got the balm to fix it. When Brother Sammons used to say this, he said this several times in the experience. He said, "Right when people should run to the Lord, they run away from Him." He said, "I never seen such a thing." They start getting themselves in a situation, and I'm saying, "Run to the Lord." And they're running away from the Lord when they should be running to the Lord. Run to the Lord with the hurt. Run to the Lord with the thing. He's the one that's going to be able to make it better, to heal it. And so there was a group of people. Some were blind, some were lame. Some had spirits, all kind of needs, and the Lord healed them all. And He said, "Happy are they which aren't offended in me." Yeah, I ain't the best looking human on purpose. I'm not the richest on this earth. I didn't take on these things of this earth. Don't be offended because I'm not going to raise you up to popularity. Because I'm not going to make you famous. Because I'm not going to make you rich. Don't be offended by me. Be happy. Amen. Come to me when you know it ain't going to be rich as you get. You're not going to be there. But you're going to come and you're going to get your soul blessed. And I will make you happy. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.